and if I could change it and somehow weed out the thinking I don't like. And yeah, our thoughts can certainly drive us crazy. Like, will the mind ever stop? And what I want to suggest today is how we can look at our thoughts in a different way. And actually, what Buddhism, the teachings of the Buddha, tells us is that we can have a different relationship with our thinking mind. And because the mind thinks, and where we suffer, where the problem is that we think it shouldn't. We want to exclude it. And then we come to meditation and we sit. And we sit still and we don't have the world around us to kind of put a filter on that. So we might not be so aware as we are in meditation of just how much our mind does go on and on and on. But when there's nothing else but the sitting here, sitting still, it's often very disconcerting for people to realize, distressing, disconcerting, the not liking of my mind just will not stop. And we see the patterns of our thinking. And in mindfulness practice, in Dharma practice, we are... we can learn to change our relationship with our thinking and have a more accepting way to hold our thinking mind and including it into our life and into our practice and into our hearts. And in fact, taking what it has to offer, the intelligence of our thinking and gaining wisdom and compassion by seeing how deeply our thoughts and our thinking, how much we let them drive us, how much we let them control us, and how much we react in a way that's completely like, what did I just do? I found that with myself so many times where the mind will spin on, and I may not even be aware of what my mind is spinning. And then the silliest thing will come out of my mouth. Like the most silly mistakes. Like, did I just say that? And so in Buddhism, we learn to untangle our thinking patterns. And we look at them in our body, and we look at them in our emotions. And we see how we begin to actually have a glimmer of the conditions that bring our thinking and then our reactions about. Buddhism teaches, Buddha made one of many, many lists. It's a great way to present his understanding that freed his heart. And he presented them often in lists. And one of the core teachings of Buddhism is called the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. And so we're going to explore a little bit this addiction to our thinking and opening up to our heart, looking through the lens of the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Some of the foundations, anyway, we'll use. And we began actually with the sitting was exploring our breath and our body and feeling what can happen when we sit. We see that our mind thinks. Our mind can just think on and on in repetition in response to sound, in response to a sensation in our body. And so we rest in our body. And when the mind wanders, we come back and we can build this foundation that we can always return to. It's like building a muscle. And we come back to our breath, and that helps center us and ground us. And I love the word foundation. We're building this foundation, this ground that can become a resting place that allows us to have some centeredness, some big word, equanimity, some poise, to see into our thinking mind and to see our emotions and to see the impact it has on our body and our mind and our responses to the world. Because we perceive everything through our body and our mind. We create the world in that way. And we can learn to actually, bit by bit, learn to live in our awareness, our mindfulness of our thinking, of our reactions. And our reactions can be somewhat transformed, actually completely transformed. Say it, name it. We can really begin to act out of a place of wisdom and compassion. It takes time, but it begins with the breath and the body. How does that sound? Does that sound like a way to do our day here? I like that we all talked. However, this is a silent day. We can nourish ourselves with the silence. But I think it's nice that that perhaps throughout the day we'll check in as a group in a circle. We'll see how it goes. But allow yourself to really drop into the silence of the sitting periods and moving out of the sitting periods and into the walking periods. Lori brought in the meal, and we will do the meal silently as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get closer. I want to talk a little bit about walking meditation, but I'm wondering if anyone does have any questions. It's okay to have questions. Laura, you said we'll go outside and it's okay to be in the parking lot for the walking meditation. How many of you are familiar with walking meditation? So some of you are familiar with a walking meditation within this tradition or the Zen tradition. And I have to say I did not bow to my... I also in doing Zen practice as well. So, yeah. I did not bow to my own teacher in my Zen practice, and I have done that for a few years as well. So some of you have done walking meditation. You're certainly invited to stay and listen to some instructions, just some ideas I have that might help in the walking meditation. And you're also welcome to begin the walking meditation. And as it is, we've already kind of eclipsed our big plans for a schedule, but we'll probably walk for 15 to 20 minutes, and Lori, maybe about 20 minutes or so, and Lori or I will ring a bell. So walking meditation, and just to say, if you'd like to begin in Gallant's parking lot, you may, but otherwise, it's always kind of fun to listen to a little bit about walking meditation. When I take myself out for a walk, I begin out for a walking meditation. I begin on my seat, on my cushion, on my chair. And we're practicing mindfulness here. So notice as you begin to get up, notice when you leave your body and you're already going toward the door. And for some of you, it may be... I don't know how to do walking meditation, and so begin there in your cushion and bring yourself back into your body. You can get up slowly and mindfully and take your steps as you head out to the door. How we do walking meditation in this practice is we pick a place outside, a straight path, maybe 15 or 20 paces, and we walk back and forth on our walking path. And so when you take yourself outside and you come to your walking path, you can think of this way as taking your breath for a walk. You're taking your body for a walk. And you come to your walking path and stand for just a very short time and maybe feel your body, just feel your feet on the ground. And settle into your walking path. Maybe look around a little bit. Be aware of where you are. But then bring yourself back into feeling your feet on the ground. Maybe feel your legs, feel your feet, feel the air on your skin. You might notice hearing. And begin to walk those 20 paces, those 15 or 20 paces. And you can, the pace of the walk is not so important, but not a hurried pace. You can walk a little slower than normal and just take your breath for a walk and walk your 20 paces and stop when you get to the end of your walking path. And you might stop and you might feel the air on your skin, and you might know the sound again, and then recenter yourself and bring yourself back into your body. Feel your feet on your ground and on the ground and return back the other way on your walking path. And the mind will wander, thoughts will come. It can sometimes be helpful to stop when the thoughts come and bring yourself back into your breath and your body. And just take your breath and your body for a walk and leisurely, mindfully walk back and forth on your walking path. And enjoy it. Enjoy it when you feel the air on your skin. It's a wonderful feeling. There's nothing sacred about walking very slow. Some people do very, very slow walking meditation. It doesn't have to be that way. But notice if you start to rush, and notice if there's some thoughts arising with that rushing. And then bring yourself back into your body. Maybe stop. Feel the air on your skin. Let the hearing in. And then continue back into your body, feeling your feet meeting the earth. And just bring yourself back to the earth and your movement on your path. Any questions? Wonderful experience.